we stand behind what we say.
Nobody pray for me.
It's hard to fake.
It been out there for me.
Yeah.
I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this.
The sky truly is the limit. If we're not helping people, what are we doing? My goal is to have an army of men and women that have bigger bank accounts than any agents in the history of this industry. We just do it for the right thing, and let's see where it all works itself out. But I know this, we run it this way, and we went from 0 to 100 million paid within 4 years, life and annuity business annually, and nobody else in our space does that.
My left stroke just went viral.
Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high
note. It's hard to fake it.
It's levels to it, you and I know.
Nobody else
be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for having me on the FFL True Talk podcast. I really love this series. I love where it's going. I think that we're over like 50 podcasts right now. I don't know exactly what number we're on, but this has just been a game changer for the whole organization, just to hear everybody's stories, where they come from, where they're going, training. And, you know, I mean, there's just so much that comes from this. And for, I just want to say thank you again, Sean, the whole FFL, for having me on. And if you're on this right now, you made a decision to listen to it. You know what I mean? And that's the first step in self-development and getting better at this deal every single day. I want to take the next 15, 20 minutes and really just go over kind of my story. You know, it is my name is Dominique Rogers. I'm sorry I didn't introduce myself. I've been with Family First Life now since we started December 12, 2013. And I've been working with Sean for the past 8 years in the business. And I'm 31. And I actually just turned 32. I'm sorry. It's hard to keep up with your age. But 32 years old. And when I started this thing, I was 23. And I kind of just want to back up a little bit, because we say, you know, anyone can do this. And I don't really think that I think if you've been through it, you understand that. But if you haven't, we have to get better at articulating why anybody can do this, because somebody on this call may have, you know, just heard about Family First Life yesterday. 2 weeks ago, two weeks ago, and they're in the class getting their license, and they're kind of, yeah, I get my license, but can I truly do this? And why do they keep saying anybody can do this? So, yeah, just a quick, you know, my background is this. I'm the second in order of three kids. I have an older sister, younger sister. My older sister and I are 3 years apart. My younger sister and I are like a year and a couple months. So, growing up, it was just my mom and us three, and whoever she was with at the time. And not to say it was like that crazy. She, my little sister's dad, was with us till I was about 12, 13. She got married to somebody else. And, you know, I mean, that didn't work out. Got, you know, just life. And but I say all that to say this. I never had a true male figure in my life. And at the time, I didn't know if it was important. I wasn't growing up going, oh, I don't have a dad, or, you know, and, you know, I don't know if this is too much, but, you know, this ain't a boohoo me story either, by the way. I don't even know who my dad is. So that's not a, you know, I wasn't really searching for, I didn't have that. You know what I mean? I see a lot of people who may have been in my situation, or came out of that, or whatever it may be, or something similar. And, they use it as a crutch. And I'm just so fortunate that my family, my mom, grandma, aunt never, ever, made me feel like I needed that. And, played a lot of baseball, football, basketball. And played on teams that I had, you know, some decent coaches, and, you know, just, I don't know. I just played the game, and really the game is what really, I think, kept my mind from drifting away into, you know, why me, or what about this and what about that. And, so from 5 until 22, played baseball. That was my joint. Like I went really, really hard with that. Basketball and baseball I played in high school. Wasn't very good at basketball. Actually, I sucked at basketball. And then football, I was okay. I was like an athlete, but didn't really like to get hit. So it was like, you know, let's run around. And, you know, but I could score a little bit. But at the end of the day, I wasn't trying to, you know, bulk up. If you've seen me, I got to run around the shower to get wet. So that really probably wouldn't have worked out me playing football. So I got a scholarship to University of Nevada, Reno, to play football at a high school. And you know, signed there, turned it down because baseball was looking really good, ended up getting drafted, turned it down, because at that point in time, they have a thing called the draft and follow, which means you can get drafted and then the MLB team watches you for about a year. And then you can go back and sign. Well, during that time, after my freshman year of college, I went to Sacramento Community College. And I chose to go there because I didn't want to go to college. If you go to a community college, you can go play professional baseball as soon as you get drafted. So after my freshman year of college, community college, I had a pretty solid year. If you know baseball, I hit like 340, few home runs, bunch of doubles. And, you know, I was at 18, 19-year-old freshman in college on, it was a really good team. And ended up getting drafted by the Blue Jays, 30-something round. Ain't too crazy. But with no scholarship, no leverage, it was decent. So I did the draft and follow thing. They watched me for a year. During that year, I ended up getting diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was 19 years old. And that day was the craziest day, I'd say, of my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, just for a minute, for a multitude of different reasons, but just to get smacked in the face with that was just, I didn't know what to do, you know? And I knew I wanted to play baseball. That was really it. So it was like, I knew I wanted to play baseball, and I was like, I have got to get back on the field. So when they gave me my options for treatment, I was doing chemotherapy, and they gave me the option for treatment. I said, hey, if you guys know anybody who's done chemotherapy or radiation or anything like that, you typically don't go every single week. Usually go a week, take a couple weeks off, go back, because the medications are poisons that they're giving you to kill the cancer, are wild. You know, like they're not the most, your body really can't take it. So, but I was 19, my cancer was isolated in my right femur, and, you know, as long as my count stayed good, they can, you know, hook me up every single week with the poisons. So I said, you know what? I got to get back on the field. This is, November 2006. It's one of those things. 2006. I'm sorry. I was diagnosed November 15th, 2006. And, I was just like, oh my God, I've got to get back on the baseball field. So I was like, cancer. Yes, I got it. But how soon can I get rid of this so I can go back and play baseball? Because that was my value in my life from 0 to 19 was baseball. So, I said, hey, I'm going to take that option. I'm going to go every week. So I went every single Thursday for 8 weeks in a row. They gave me three medicines one time, one medicine the next week, three medicines the next week, 1-3-1-3-1-3-1. And I was all good, count stayed good, never had an issue until my last treatment, and I had to stay overnight. My blood count dropped. It was a mess, but only a mess one time, one out of eight times, and it was my last time, so I'll take that. I had some stories, and you know, and to back up a little bit with that, like when I'm doing the chemotherapy, and I'm telling you all this and everybody all this just to, you know, let you know why anybody can do this, and what led me to believing that, hey, I'm going to do this thing, you know. So I was in the pediatrics department. So I'm 19 with cancer, getting chemotherapy, and there's, to my left and my right are 4-year-old and 8-year-old and 2-year-old getting blood transfusions and chemo, the same medications that I'm getting. And my first time going into treatment, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I was pissed off, crying on the way there. Why me? What's this going on? You know, and then I walk in the room, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't even know what pediatrics meant. So I was going to the appointment. I was like, I don't know what the hell that means. Like, I don't know. So I'm walking in the place, and I walk in. I'm like, well, I'm the oldest person in here by far. And why am I crying? What's the big deal? There's a 4-year-old over there getting a blood transfusion, and he's playing Mario Kart, and he's loving life. Get over yourself. So that was my first real dose of like, you know what, man, it ain't that bad. You know what, man, you're over here fighting to play baseball, and here they're fighting over here for their life. So I had to really change the way I was thinking about, you know, my scenario and what I was going through. That really helped me out, man. I think if I would have went in there and was sitting with a bunch of old people, I don't know if that would have really inspired me. I just don't know. But luckily, 19 put me in the pediatrics, and you know, it gave me a really big perspective on what's important and how to, you know, how to look at my life at the time. So I went through that. God, with God's grace, I was good February 15th, 2007. Or, yeah. 2007, and that was my last. I was cleared, and it felt great. Came back, played baseball, but I had a new lease on life. Just a straight new lease on life. I love baseball. I was all about it. I love my team. I wanted to go play, but I wasn't so sold on playing pro ball no more. Like, if you ask me, what do I want to do? I was like, yeah, I want to play professional baseball, but it wasn't so like deep in my mind to where it was like, if it didn't work out, I didn't have an option. Like I knew I had, I just didn't know what it was. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know. So that was my freshman year. So I came back and finished my sophomore year of ball. That was my sophomore year. I was actually went through the chemotherapy. So I was diagnosed during the fall, didn't play any fall ball or anything, cleared February. And I was on the field at the end of February. Actually, the day I got cleared, I flew out to Riverside. My coach put me in the game and I hit a double my first at bat. If you don't think, guy, I'm trying to preach to you, because I don't know. I know a proverb or two, but guy, it's a real thing, because I promise you, for my next 10, 20 at bats after that, bro, I couldn't hit anything. I couldn't hit a beach ball. But for some way, somehow, man, he lined me up. I remember I hit a double, got to second base. I was out of my mind, tired, got a pinch runner. And was taken out, man. And I remember my great uncle actually passed away, who actually got me into baseball. He was in Riverside. He passed away, I think, 3 months after that, and got to see me. Yeah, it was an amazing thing. Just overall, just straight amazing. So, so fast forward to after my sophomore year. All right, so I'm healthy. Okay, I'm back playing. I'm not, you know, not crushing it like I was the previous year, but I had a good year. Our team had a really good year. It was a really good team year. A lot of camaraderie. I saw what my teammates really meant to me. They would come over to my house during therapy. I just really started to see this whole team thing. It really started to change. It still was about me somewhat, but I started to see, like, you know what, this is a little bit more than me hitting the ball and running around and these relationships that were being built. So I finished sophomore year. I got a scholarship to University of Miami before I got diagnosed with cancer. And then after, you know, they can't really take the scholarship away from you. But when June came around that year, Miami, which is $40,000 a year to go to, out of state, probably more now. But they, you know, they were giving me a 50% scholarship, which is a lot in the baseball world. They only give out like 12 scholarships for 30 people. You know, so, and 50% is a lot. So they were giving me 50%. I was jacked up out of my mind to go to Miami. And, you know, and the Blue Jays didn't sign me again. You know, it's a business. I had cancer. Well, I don't know if I would bet on a 19-year-old who just got cancer. At the time I was pissed, but today I'm like, yeah, I get it. So Miami, at the end of the year, I signed a scholarship at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, the draft came around. It's every June. They called me up and said, "Hey, Dom, once a hurricane, always a hurricane. But just want to let you know, if you come here, we over-recruited. Some guys didn't get drafted this year that we thought were. And, you know, you can come, but you're not going to play." I remember Jim Morris called me. And I was like, whew. Talk about boo-hooing, dude. I was mad, sad, everything, right? Then I have to take a step back. You know, and this is, you know, how I got to NC State, but I was really, really upset. And the only reason I went to NC State was because I was upset. Like, I didn't even know what NC State was. I just knew that they were in the ACC and they played Miami. So I was like, nice, I can get revenge somehow and play them. That was it. Otherwise, I would have been on the West Coast playing ball at Long Beach State or somewhere, you know what I mean? But not, I wouldn't have been in North Carolina, I promise you that. But I just wanted to play them again. NC State gave me a call. Said, "Hey, heard you got released," because everybody in the ACC, you know, gets noticed when somebody gets a release from a school. So they got my info, and I was like, I'm in. And that right there, you know, losing that scholarship to Miami was like my first true dose of business, of like, this is business. Jim Morris did not like me. It wasn't about me. It was, dude, you just had cancer and love you, but I got championships to win. And when you look at the MLB, when they didn't sign me again, so they drafted me and then followed me throughout the year, and I got a scholarship to Miami, which would have guaranteed me at least $120,000 bonus because I had 3 years left of school, and they're $40,000 a year to go to school. So I was almost guaranteed $120,000 if they chose to sign me. But they chose not to sign me because now I'm a liability. See, when your name's not John Lester and you haven't been in the league forever, and I'm sorry if you don't know baseball, it's all good, it's going to go over your head, but just Google it. You know, he had cancer and came back and played, but he was already in the league. Like, he was already signed and, you know, just doing his thing. And, you know, I'd say he inspired me a bunch because I remember I came back and played the same time he was coming back and play. Definitely inspired me, but his inspiration wasn't getting me signed. So I had to just eat it up. You know, I had to eat that up and go, you know what, this is business. I was pissed off at Jim. I was like, you know what, this is terrible. I can't believe he did this. You know, but now I'm very thankful that he did that because he could have just had this kid come out from California to ride the pine and have fun in Miami. Who knows where I would be right now if that was the case, because it is Miami and it is Miami. So it was a very good thing that he did that. So I ended up going to NC State. You know, I had they gave me, they, like I said, I just wanted to get revenge on Miami and went to NC State. It was a great, great ride at NC State. I mean, I met some of the coolest people. I built some of the greatest relationships. And what allowed me to build these relationships was that I went through some stuff my first 2 years in college. And that last year, my sophomore year. You know, and really, you know, I had some guys come around during cancer and built, you know, just some really, really good bonds. You know, off the field. Do you know what I mean? About things that were other than girls at the time. Does that make sense? And I just, you know, I'm just... And those things really, really, when I was at State, that's what I was focused on. I was, you know, I wanted to play ball, but I was like, you know, let's go, I want to go to school. I want to graduate. Do you know what I mean? I want to graduate. Before it was like, I'm going to school just to play baseball. I was like, no, I'm going to school now. Like, I'm going to get a degree. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I thought I was going to, I majored in communication. So I thought I'd be, you know, like on a sports center or something like that. But then I realized, like, I don't even care about sports. I was like, I don't care at all. People are like, oh, that's your team. I'm like, dude, I don't got a team. That's just a hat that I wear. I like the colors. Like, I don't care at all. At all. Zero. So I'm just not your guy. Like, I'm the worst guy to go hang out with other guys and talk about sports. I'm like, dude, I have no clue what you're talking about. But you want to talk about something else? Like, let's talk about business or how you do this or, you know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know. I really don't care. But I just got to get sidetracked on stuff. But, like, I really have a passion about, like, just... but I love to play him. I love to play him. So, used to. Not no more. I can't do it no more. But I got a son now, and I'm thinking, like, man, I'm going to have to, like, get in shape and, like, you know, do this because my man is, I hope he plays. If he doesn't play, it is what it is. He'll be great at something, maybe like trombone or something like that, and just be killing it and go to every recital. But anyways, so when I was, I was hooked on build. I wanted to build relationships with people. That was it. I wanted to graduate. I wanted to build relationships. I didn't know what was going to happen. I, you know, at the time, I wasn't too cognizant that I was doing it. It's just now, you know, 10, 12 years later, I can look back and go, I guess that's kind of what was happening. So I went to NC State and I met met Marcus Jones. And the crazy thing about Marcus Jones was that I knew Marcus. Like, I don't know if you guys know baseball, but there ain't too many black people who play baseball. Like, really black. I mean, really, like, the color black is like one other thing, but African-American. How about that? You know, and I played on an all-star team, I guess, right? Like, I guess I wasn't really an all-star, but they needed to fill the roster because they need, you know, there's nine people who need to play. And if there's only three true all-stars, they need six other people to fill the field. And I was one of those. So, but Marcus was a true all-star. Like, dude, it was really, really good. And I played on a team with him. And, I didn't know him at all. But when you play with another African-American, you never forget them. In baseball, like, if you are, like, I don't know, if you're white and listening, you never forgot the ones you played with either. So imagine being one and, like, you know, just think about it. So when I went to NC State on my visit, I didn't even know he went to that school. I didn't do really much research about who went there or anything like that. So when I went to my visit, I saw Marcus and I was like, what? You go here? He goes, oh man. I mean, like, I was signed. Like, you'd be like, so did I even need to finish the visit? No, I was like, oh, it's my bruh. I'm here. Good. All good. I wanted to come anyways to get revenge on Miami, but I was like, oh, cool. And I promise you, I did not know Marcus. I didn't have his number, but like I said, you play ball, you find somebody like-minded and you're like, huh, cool. We got a lot of common just on the skin of it. So I was all in. You know what I mean? And I tell you that to know just like how I got into this business. Remember, this is why anybody can do this. Anybody. Why anybody can come in here and do this. So I never had a job. Playing baseball. Went to NC State on a fluke. You know, had a connection with Marcus on a fluke. And we hit it off. You know, I ended up playing ball. I don't want to get into how ball went, but it was, you know, it was fun. It was fun. I learned a lot. You know, the coach was, he was wild. He's one of the coaches that like never played, but like, you know, knows some people. And he's like all of like 4'8". Like there's no way he'd ever do anything. But really learned a lot. You know what I mean? I'd say cancer was the hardest thing I had to deal with initially. But overall, I just kind of, God led me through that. You know, I had a great support system around me. I was by myself my senior year, playing baseball out there in North Carolina. My senior year was the hardest year I've ever had in life. In life, just in general. Like, just in general. Cancer was like, it's out of my control. I had to let go and let God. But when I was playing my senior year, not playing, knowing I should play. 100% sure. This is not one of those stories that it's like, oh my God, I can't. The coach is such an idiot. Like, no, he's an idiot. But like I should have been playing. Everybody knew I should have been playing, but I wasn't playing. I wanted to quit every single day. Every single day I wanted to quit, but I was like, I don't quit stuff. That's not me. I'm like, you know, but I was like, I'm in North Carolina. My family's in California. This sucks. Why am I even here? But I was like, I'm here to graduate. I'm here for, it's bigger than this. It's bigger than this than baseball right now. It had to be bigger than baseball. But if I didn't go through what I went through before, as in the cancer, I would have quit, no doubt. Because it wasn't bigger than, it would have been all about baseball. So I stuck it out. And that year, I mean, this taught me a lot, man. I built some more relationships. And then I went back, I graduated. I missed a year of school because of my cancer, semester. So I had to go back and finish the semester after my senior year. Finished that, graduated. And during that time, Marcus Jones signed for like $400,000 with the Nationals, third or fourth round or something ridiculous. So when he signed, he wanted to come back to Raleigh and work out during the off season. I was like, tight, you want to be my roommate? You know what I mean? I was like, that'd be cool. Like, I got a roommate half of the year, but he pays all of the year. That'd be cool. You know what I mean? And he's a great guy. I liked him, but I was like, dude, you can be my roommate, dude. That'd be awesome. So we got an apartment, and he was coming down during the off season, but it was a premature. He came down a little bit early because he hurt his knee. Thought it was some temporary thing. And Marcus is a very knowledgeable guy. He's very he's always moving forward, if that makes sense. Now, this didn't work for him, but his mind works in a way that mine did not work. Meaning, he signed for $300,000 to $400,000 and was still looking to get an insurance license after when he hurt his knee to produce a passive income. I don't know how excited he was to sell insurance, but he wanted to build a business. He wanted to hire people, teach them how to sell. He met Sean, realized that Sean would help, and there was a system in place. To where that if he, you know, when he went back and played baseball, he would have a income coming in outside of baseball. And I was like, dude, you're 20 years old, 21. You're 21 years old, just signed for $400,000. Your parents got money. I know that. You know what I mean? It's all good. You know what I mean? And what are you doing still looking for an opportunity, bro? I was like, dude, if I would have signed, I wasn't even looking for an opportunity, and I had a joint bank account with my mom. Like, what? Just the way of thinking that he had versus what I had. You know what I mean? My mom did hair. She was a hairdresser, owned a salon. And when I met Sean, I realized she didn't own the salon. The salon owned her, because if she didn't do no hair, she didn't make no money. There's a big difference between being a business owner and being self-employed. I realized my mom was self-employed. You know, and I got around some people that, you know, Marcus and different backgrounds and, just different way of living, man. When I saw it, like, his mom and dad was together, I was like, that's cool. I didn't have very many friends, especially African-American friends that had both parents. So I was like, tight, like anything you're doing, I'm going to just do that, because it seems like you got it on together. Your dad works at the Washington Post. Your mom works for the CIA. I don't even know, but I think so. But like, I was just like, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. So yeah, whatever you're doing, I'm going to do. So when he told me about life insurance and getting a license, I was just like, yeah, why wouldn't I? Like, really, what am I doing right now? Like, really, what am I doing outside of like on my way to a lot of trouble? That's what I was. I was on my way to a lot of trouble, because I was like, I knew I wasn't going to be broke. Let's just be clear. I was never going to be broke. It wasn't going to happen. No way, no how. But I had to find something that I can use my mind and work ethic to really make this thing happen, you know, because otherwise, you know, I was going to make money. I just didn't know how, you know. So Marcus told me about this, and I was like, oh, this is, I'm all in. Yep. Like, you know, I didn't know how all in I was, but I was like, I ain't got no other option. I was like, life is getting real crazy right now. The day before, had some unfortunate, it was just crazy how things happen. Crazy how things happen. I was like, that happened. Next day, I talked to Sean Mike, and I'm just like, let's go. Let's go. I get my license. Now, was I your ideal person? Nope. So I always had to take a step back and go, I was excited about this thing. Thank you for the opportunity, but it wasn't day one. Like, I didn't get my license in two days. You know, I remember Sean was like, where you at in the class? I was like, oh, I haven't even started yet. He goes, oh, okay. Never talked to me again. I was like, Sean came out to North Carolina to do a dial, like to do a meeting or something like that. And I showed up in sweatpants. He goes, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I didn't know. It was this type of meeting, dude. Everybody's in like suits and stuff. And I was like, well, now looking back, they should have been in sweatpants because they're all broke. But yeah, that was me. You know what I mean? There was a dial session. There was a dial session on a Saturday. Okay. Marcus was like, you know, hey, we're going to dial session tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, cool. Let's go. 7 o'clock rolls around, 7 a.m. I'm 21, 22. I'm like, I'm good, bro. You can go up there. I ain't going up there. Marcus goes up there, has a good time with Sean, learns a bunch. I sleep until noon. He flew down to Connecticut to do work, not with me, but with our group, and I took it for granted. So, like, you'd be like, well, why anybody can do this? Well, he didn't blow me up. I just, you know, I had to figure out what I wanted. When I saw Marcus getting attention and doing this and doing that and going to Carolina again, I was like, man, that looks cool. I want to do that. I want a relationship. Does that make sense? I want somebody to tell me what's right, what the right thing to do is, not just, you know, when you play ball and you have these coaches, they just tell you enough to keep you on the team, man. They want to keep you happy. They don't want to offend you. Sean always kept it real with me. He always let me know, well, you know, what the truth was. You know what I mean? It's crazy. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. It's like you got a white man that almost teaching me how to be a black man in America. It's crazy. It's kind of weird. Do you know what I mean? But who better to, I don't know. It's like he has the lens. He understands. You know what I mean? This is, we're not all the same. We're not. And to have that type of person in my life is just, I can't even put it into words. And that's why I believe everybody can do this thing, is because, you know, if you like helping people, all right, not even, you know, I mean, and you enjoy a team environment, it just didn't. Why wouldn't it work? If I didn't have no plan B, but I had a lot of drive, I had a lot of things that I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be like all the guys that my mom dated. I didn't want to be like them. I didn't want to be dependent on a girl. Like, these are just things that I was just, you know, that's how I grew up. I just grew up with that type of, you know, she did this. And then I'm like, I want to do that. I'm going to take care of my wife. I saw Sean taking care of his wife, two kids. Do you know what I mean? And he takes care of his. And that's what I want. I just want to take care of mine. That's it. And if you want to take care of yours, you can do it here. This is a system that's in place, and you know, like, this is, it's not that deep. But you got to figure out what led you here. How did you get here? And it's not by accident. But if you don't clarify and figure out what really, why am I doing this? You know, this isn't an accident. You know, this is the real deal. So I know I went a little bit longer. I appreciate you guys being on and taking the time to listen to this, and hopefully it helps. Anybody can do this. Put your mind to it. Look at where you were. Look at where you can go. But don't look at where you are. Okay? All right? That'll mess you up, because you just keep it moving. This is where I come from, and here's where I'm going. Because right now, already passed. So, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Sean, and whole family for life having me on. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth.
know who I be. I be the truth when I speak, self set you free. Truth.